Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Wednesday morning. October 23rd. Where does it go? Where does time go? I was on the phone with Mark Trump last night talking a little bit about some stuff going on in Sky High. I said, dude, we're a month away from December. This is Ohio, man. This is wow. Where does it go? I could get in a definition of discussion about that, but not going to. Welcome. Appreciate y'all joining us here today. And man, just I got a plate full today, so I'm going to try to wiggle my way through this stuff as best as I can. Because see, one of the things that happens to me is I do a little bit of show prep, and then when I get done with the show prep and I pray a little bit, walk down the steps, and sometimes just different stuff gets dropped right into my spirit, and it's hard to, you know, I have a planned show, and then all of a sudden I got this new tap on my chest, as I love to say, from the Holy Spirit, and it's hard to get away from that. When I say, Lord, if I go there, you know, I'm not really prepared to really talk about all that, and that's, it's one of those mornings, all right? So bear with me, all of you, and try to get this through this in a relevant way. Tomorrow is we're going to Kalispell, Montana, for the Rimfire Conference. Going to be out there the next 3 days. Is that right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, back on Sunday. 4 days, I guess. Guess we'd love for somebody to come and join us. I know a lot of you can. I understand that. And I was able to get online and find out that the Reliant movie is playing in Kalispell. We're going to go to the Reliant movie. Hey, Jared, pull that up there, man. That's the first thing I got on the screen, the Reliant movie. This plays nationwide tomorrow. There I was. I'm watching it on my TV. You guys won't be able to see it. But I'm in the movie, of course. We told you that. Michelle and I both are I'm not in cameo. They're not cameos. They're extras. And the movie's playing nationwide tomorrow, Dr. Patrick Johnson, and it's really, really important. I saw Kevin Sorbo, the star of the show, made it on Fox and Friends yesterday morning. They were talking about it, and they showed a clip of it, and really, really good clip. It's about 5 minutes. Or not the clip wasn't 5 minutes, but Kevin Sorbo's visit was about 5 minutes. And so tomorrow night, Thursday, is the night. Get out and go. Go online. So what did I? Here's how I did it. Jared, let's do this together right here. Let's go down and it says find theaters. We got it up on the screen right now, folks. The Reliant movie, find theaters. So here's what I did. I went right here and said, I'd like to see it. Is there one playing near me? And I said, well, let's type in Kalispell, K-A-L-I-S-P-E-L. That Kalispell, Montana. Is there one showing in Kalispell, Montana? Well, I'll be darned. Signature Stadium 14, 7 o'clock tomorrow. Jared, click on where it says 7 p.m. What happens there? It pops up. You can buy tickets. $11.50 for a ticket. I look at it as a donation. All right. So we're going to be in Kalispell. Golly, Jared, are there any seats left? How do you tell if the seats is? Oh, there's okay. So I'm going to get about 10 or 11 seats to take some of our crew with us there. And so, that's how you do it. It's very simple. You order your ticket online. Listen, even if you can't go, it'd be worth a $10 donation to help make this movie relevant. Because as Kevin Sorbo said, this is like no movie, Christian movie ever put out there because of the Second Amendment. In fact, that the NRA and some of those guys are really starting to push the movie now. And so that's where we're going to be. And some of you I know have already purchased tickets. Get out there and support this thing. As I said over and over and over, this movie is riveting. So maybe Friday morning we can have a little bit of a discussion about the movie, what you guys thought. Jared, play the teaser there real quick. Hey, folks, I want you to watch. Watch for me now. I'm going to be right at the very beginning. Jump on. Oh, you won't see it. Doesn't matter. Here's the teaser to The Reliant. Playing tomorrow night.
For better or for worse.
Marriage isn't always going to be easy.
For better or for worse.
Well, love is a, it's a sacrifice.
That was in our neighborhood.
What's happening?
Get everyone in the car.
The world is falling apart. Believe me.
Go! Daddy!
Sophie, go! Go, get out of here! Run!
We have prepared for this. We will survive.
Oh, I've never known.
Oh, thank God. You're alive.
Adam, what happened?
And I've let you down, Sophie. I may never be any more worthy of you than I am of Grace. Can you love a man like that?
My dream was to marry a man who would be a good husband.
Give me another chance.
I don't know how much more I can take.
I mean, can't you see that he's changed?
And if he could tell us one thing, he would tell us that God is still good.
You are armed and dangerous.
You ain't seen nothing yet. We are staying together, and we are trusting God. The only good answer for the question why is believe. Mercy is the light that swallows up all the darkness.
Go see it, folks. You'll be glad you did, okay? Go see it. That's Thursday night all around the country. Just type in the theater near you. Go see it. You'll be glad you did. Now, issue number two. Well, I'm a little bit behind the eight ball. Jared, click on Jamie Waldron. Jamie's coming to Ohio on the 16th of November. Now, folks, I'd really love for as many of you as possible, our good crew of people, try to get together. This is going to be it's a free event. We got the venue free. It's just going to be a one afternoon thing where Jamie's going to come in and train us on Omega Dynamics. I got to get Jamie back on the show more to talk about that. And we can make a great weekend of food and fellowship and just some training with Jamie. Any of you within, however far away you are, okay? No expense to it. Yeah, there'll be probably some hotel expense. I'll put up as many people as you can in my house. Love for you to come and be part of this. This is November 16th. That's a Saturday. Now we're still working on the details of it, but this is a can't miss. You just got to try to get there. Okay. Now let me, we'll get that up on the schedule. We'll try to make that stuff a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Better description online. Issue number, I told you I got a lot of stuff on. Hang with me today. Okay. Jamie Waldron, November 16th here in Newark, Ohio, Buckeye Lake, Ohio. All right. Jamie and his family coming out. We're excited about that. Sky High, man. Listen, I need just a handful of you to help me. The first weekend in November, that's November 1 and 2. That's a Friday and a Saturday. We got to do, we already got the materials. I need some manual labor to help put on a roof on the garage. Some of you have been there, you know what's going on. And we're going to put that on probably in a half a day. But I'd love to have some of you come and help me do that and kind of buckle this thing up for the winter. The winter's coming upon us. I'm not going to do a whole lot of outside work at Sky High and probably not much inside work there once we get into the winter. So we just need to do, I need a little bit of help in doing down some button down on this thing, November 1 and November 2. If you guys can come out here, we'll feed you well, we'll laugh, we'll have a good time and can help us put some finishing touches on that kind of stuff there. Okay. And number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Alan Hoyle. I don't know if Mark Trump's in here today. I don't know if Mike Heath's in here. I don't know if Polly Heath's in here today. Alan Hoyle went to trial yesterday, and this is going to be one of my jumping off points yesterday. Is there any justice in America? And does anybody get mad when there isn't justice in America? Do you only get mad at injustice when it affects you? Is that really where we are? Do we say, oh, you know, that's so sad, that's too bad, and then go on and see who the Buckeyes are going to play? They're playing Wisconsin this week. Do we really, really care? And Alan Hoyle, Polly, Mike, are any of you in here this morning? Trump, anybody? Because see, God bless Mike Heath and Polly Heath and Mark Trump. They got in the car and they drove down there to be with Alan Hoyle in trial yesterday. And of course, it was a travesty of justice, as they always are. And I want to try to share some of that with you. Any of them in here? There's Mark Trump. Come on, Trumper. Yeah. Come on in here. Tell us what happened. What happened down there yesterday, Mark?
Well, it was a hearing. So it wasn't a full, the way they do it now is you go into the magistrate's court and there's a clerk there And they ask you, do you plead guilty or not guilty? And if you plead not guilty, they basically threaten you with 60 days in jail. So he pled not guilty. And they said, are you sure? You may face 60 days in jail if you don't plead guilty and get processed and pay your fine or whatever. And that's really what it's about. It's like a turnstile. They want to force you as best as they can during the hearing to plead guilty, to process you as guilty, and they don't even give you a court date until after you plead not guilty.
Yeah, they just want the money, right, Mark? Ultimately, they just want the money, probably. Want to find something.
So they didn't let us in the court. They didn't let us in there. So, you know, five or six of us went, and, we waited 2 to 3 hours outside the courtroom, and the judge wasn't in there. You got a clerk, talking about a sentencing before the trial is even scheduled, threatening 60 days in jail and things. So it's upside down, Coach. And
it's all upside down, baby. It's all upside down, folks, everywhere we look. And Doug Hagman is the one that said it's a legal system. It's not a justice system. And whether we want to face up to it or not, the Lord demands justice. We read that yesterday in the preamble of the Constitution, right? Establish justice, not establish a legal system, not establish a court system, establish justice, because we cannot have a fair and equitable society if we don't have equal justice. Now, see, we hear social justice, right? And so now everybody has taken the idea of, well, equal justice is everybody has the same amount of food and everybody gets the same universal income and we steal it from the rich and we give it to the poor. That's communism, right? That's communism. Justice is the idea of right and wrong, right and wrong. Government is amoral, folks. Government is merely a vehicle by which people are governed. The government, whether it's moral or immoral, is determined by the people who control the government, how the government operates. And that's why the preamble said that they were to establish justice, not a system of justice. You with me? And we don't have justice. We don't have justice. We don't have justice for the preborn. We don't have Alan Hoyle simply went to a homosexual pride parade and was preaching the gospel. And when the police began to harass him, he pointed out to them that the law says that a man cannot wear a mask in public. He pointed out the law. He asked them to arrest them or charge them or ticket them or do something with them. And they would not do it. They refused to do it to the point where Alan got arrested. What's Alan? What? Huh? He's got to go back again. It's injustice everywhere. So I got a couple things I got to throw at you here. Okay. Just question number one. I ask myself this. Does the nation have a soul? Does the nation have, we hear it all the time, the soul of a nation. Soul of a nation. Does the nation have a soul? Does America even have a soul anymore? What is it? Jared, click on Webster there.
Hey, Coach, nations get judged.
The nations sure do get judged, don't they, brother? That's a great point.
This wasn't even supposed to be a nation.
Pardon me?
This is a confederation. This is a confederation. It was never supposed to be a nation. It's a union of sovereign states. Yes. We forget that. The words mean, yes, words, sir, have meaning. When Mark was just talking, but I got a question for you, Mark. And I this is no offense, but why would anyone plead with the court? Why would you not simply state that you're innocent until proven guilty? I'm not going to plead guilty or innocent or guilty. You're innocent. I just simply state your innocence. Well, you have to plead. No, I don't Amen. Have to plead. I don't have anything of the court.
Amen.
We forget the words. The words have meaning. They suck Amen. Us into this thing. Well, you have to plead guilty or not guilty. No, I plead innocent. I don't plead anything from you. I don't ask anything from you.
Amen, boys.
Innocent.
Makes them crazy.
Good point. By the way, I just saw in the chat what happened. Well, let's go back in January, of course. So much for a speedy trial, right? Got to go back again in January. So even if he wins, he's already invested a lot of time and effort and money. even if he wins. See, it's not a justice system. Does the nation have a soul? Does it have a soul? What's a soul, according to Mr. Webster? He said a soul is a spiritual, rational, and immortal substance in man, which distinguishes him from brutes. That part of man which enables him to think and reason, and which, how about this, renders him a subject of moral government, not immoral government. When the government's immoral, you know, this is tough for us, folks. When the government's immoral, you got no business obeying it. Sorry, I'm just sorry. The immortality of the soul is a fundamental article of the Christian system. Mr. Webster calls it a system, the Christian system. Such is the nature of the human soul, that it must have a God, an object of supreme affection. And so our nation has a soul, and our soul is worshiping government, not God. We're not operating under a fundamental Christian system. The understanding, number two, the intellectual principle, the eyes of our soul then only begin to see when our bodily eyes are closing. Vital principle, the sun of this great world, both eye and soul. Four, spirit, essence, chief part as charity, the soul of all virtues, emotion, this is the soul of eloquence, the life, the animation, the principle or part as an able commander in the soul of an army, internal power. There is some soul of goodness in things evil, a human being, a person, active power. Do you understand, folks, that the soul is an essence of who you are? Now, we know there's a human being has an immortal soul and becomes immortal through Jesus Christ. We understand that. But all things have at their very essence a system of beliefs. That is the soul, a system of actions. Does America have a soul? And what's the soul of America? What is the heart and soul of America? We're losing it. See, we don't even know that. We don't even know what it is. Now I want to connect the dot. Let me get off on a monologue here for a second. It's important to do this. I got to do this. Jared, stay right there, Mr. Webster, and type in peer. Because listen, I don't know about you. When I'm drugged into court, I want a jury of my peers. We're guaranteed that, a jury of our peer. Now, what is a peer? You better listen to this. See, a peer isn't some druggy homosexual freak sitting on your jury. He ain't your peer. Your peer is not some elected official who's got some skin in the game. He ain't your peer. According to Webster, a peer is an equal, one of the same rank. A man may be familiar with his peers, an equal in excellence or endowments, a companion, a fellow, an associate. Folks, listen to me. The peer of a Christian is a Christian only. I'm going to say that again. The peer of a Christian is not a non-Christian. He is not your peer. And in our judicial system, Alan Hoyle has to go stand before a man who is not his peer. And we are guaranteed in our system of government that we are going to be able to stand before like-minded people. That's the whole purpose of it. Abortion. We take the abortion issue. Does it go to a jury of peers? We saw this kid down in, this father down in Texas, whose seven-year-old son, they're trying to get him to turn him into a woman. Did he get a chance to go to sit in a jury of his peers? It was a jury that decided it. A jury, were they his peers? Were Christians? Was the Bible-believing Christians? Those are his. We're in a different kingdom. We are citizens of a different kingdom. Do you understand it? Do you understand the depth of the importance of it? I'm going to show you something here in a minute. I'm going to stop my lips here for a minute and hear what you guys out there think.
Is a feminist your peer? Is a female your peer as a man? Think about the division between females and males now. Hey. Masculinity and all of this toxic masculine. I mean, how can they be our peer when they're out to get us?
Hey, let me throw something in here. You know, like the Constitution does not guarantee us a jury of our peers. It calls for an impartial jury. Doesn't use the word peers.
I understand that, Larry. I understand that, but that's the language. That's the language they use, right? A jury of your peers. I understand that's on the Constitution. I do. But is the only thing that makes somebody my peer, Larry, is that we happen to be born in the same country. That's the only thing that makes somebody my peer. That's crazy. I know you're not saying that.
Yeah, the Constitution describes it as a jury from the jurisdiction wherein the crime was committed.
Right. Okay. Right. And there used to be a time when we all held the same values, right? How many out there want to sit on a jury with a Muslim? How many want to sit on a jury with an atheist? I don't want to. I'm not even up this world anymore. I'm just passing through. Why don't we declare our citizenship and live according to our citizenship? I hear somebody else wanted to come in. Come on in.
Because we don't know what citizenship is.
Jared, get that video ready, if you will. We don't know what citizenship is. We don't understand citizenship. We're just passing through. We're not in the world. We're not of this world, brother. Then you're not a citizen. Who made you a citizen? Who told you you were an American citizen? Where did that come from?
Even by Supreme Court ruling from the late 1800s, there are three kinds of citizenship. In several United Sovereign States, there are three kinds of citizenship, and you can be one or two of those three. And so if you make law that says only a United States citizen can vote, that means I can't vote. And that wording will kill us. We got to be careful with the words.
Yes, sir. The words mean things, right? They tried to tell us Obama was a citizen. Well, he's not the citizen of the same country I'm a citizen of, and I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. So I got a video here. I want you to see. This is from Jesus of Nazareth. This is Jesus Christ standing before Pilate. Now, folks, if you don't, people have told me, I hear it all the time. They say, Coach, Jesus didn't fight against the authorities. What? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? When Jesus stood before Pilate, as you're going to see here, what did he tell Pilate? He said, you got no power over me, dude. I'm not a Roman. You understand? See, when we were a Christian nation, then the laws and rules applied to everybody equally. Do you think they apply to everybody equally? Do you believe Alan Hoyle, as a Christian man, receives the same governmental protection as the homosexuals? If you do, you're a fool. If you believe that Rusty Thomas, when he goes to the abortion clinic, gets the same protections as the man inside killing the babies, if you think the police treat those two people the same, you're a fool. Go ahead and play this, Jared. What did I say? Just play it for the first 2 minutes of it, Jared. And then I want you to move it ahead, because I think this is critical that we see this. Play the first 2 minutes.
Is this the man you think so dangerous? This.
Stop a minute. I want you to watch here. Boy, is this, what a mirror this is. This is America today. I want you to watch the religious leaders appeal to the government to do their dirty work. Don't you miss this. Don't you dare miss this. The ability of the church to influence the government still applies today. That's what we see happening in these first 2 minutes. The church can't do anything about this rabble rouser. So they go to the government. The church goes to the government and influences the government. Go ahead.
And that aspires to be a king. Come. now. The leaders of the Sanhedrin accuse you of preaching perverted doctrines.
Alan Hoyle! Alan Hoyle!
Come. They also say you call yourself the King of the Jews. Well, are you King of the Jews?
Stop a minute. Is that a crime if he says he is? Is it a civil crime if he said he's King of the Jews? Go ahead.
If my kingdom were of this world,
wow,
followers would have fought to prevent me from being captured.
Oh, you speak of a kingdom. Therefore, you must be a king.
Stop a minute.
Are you?
Stop a minute. Jesus trying to get Pilate saved here? So giving him the five spiritual laws here, trying to draw him to, is that what he's doing? Pilate says, so are you a king? Go ahead.
A king.
I am. I was born for one purpose.
Watch this!
To bear witness to the truth.
Wow! Wow! He didn't come to save Pilate, did he? Did he come to get Pilate saved? To get the guys in the Sanhedrin saved? Is that why Jesus showed up? No, no, no. Came for one purpose. What? To bear witness to the truth. That's Alan Hoyle. That's Alan Hoyle yesterday, right there. Standing before the Sanhedrin. 60 days, you shut your mouth. There's 60 days. 60 days in jail, you don't shut your mouth. Go ahead, Jared. 12 more seconds.
All who can accept the truth, hear my voice.
What? And what is the truth?
Stop it, Jared. There's a question. That question has never ceased to be asked. What is the truth? And look at Jesus, the embodiment of truth, staring directly in the eyes of Pilate. And Pilate doesn't recognize it, doesn't recognize the truth. Why did Jesus? Why? Because Jesus just said a couple sentences before, all who hear my voice. All who hear my voice, they recognize the truth. Now, Jared, let's fast forward to 538, because they took Jesus out and they beat him to a pulp. And now he has to go back. There it is, buddy. Now he has to go back and stand before Pilate again. I want you to watch this. I want you to think about where we are, truth, justice, and the American way. By the way, as you watch this, see how many guys Jesus is trying to lead to salvation as this is going on. Go ahead. Just a man.
Well, what have you got to say for yourself now? Speak.
Stop. 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 Why did he not speak? Because Pilate had no authority over him. Jesus was a man under authority. And he was commanded by Pilate, tell me what's going on. Open your mouth. And Jesus didn't. Why? Because he wasn't under Pilate's authority any more than you're not under Washington's authority. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jared.
You would have no power over me if it had not been given you from above.
Remember who started this fight. Remember those snakes over in the corner. Hang on a second, Jared. Folks, I don't want you to miss what this is. This is so critical to watch what's going on here. Pilate, the government, has mercy in his heart. He has justice in his heart. The last thing he wants to do is crucify the Lord. Don't you miss this. He said he was a king. And Pilate's okay with it. Ain't no big deal. Pilate says, something going on here with this guy. I don't know what it is. So Pilate says, how am I going to get out of this? How's the government going to get out of this, man? I got an idea. Quintilis, come here. I got a plan. And I want you to watch who gets mad at the plan. Go ahead.
Isn't there an ancient custom honoring Passover where the procurator can release a prisoner sentenced to death as an act of mercy?
Yes, that custom still exists.
And we have two prisoners?
Barabbas?
And Jesus. So let the people decide.
Oh! Oh, stop it, Jared! Stop it! Stop it! There it is, right? Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. When the juice gets a little bit too juicy, Pilate now wants to turn to the people. We'll let the people decide. We'll let the people select Hillary. Hey, we'll let the Supreme Court rule on killing babies, but we'll let the people select Hillary. Go ahead, Jared.
I've made my decision. The people will decide.
Take him away.
Hey, wait a minute. No, those religious leaders can't have the people deciding. Oh, no, go ahead.
Get down to the prison now and bring Barabbas.
I want you to watch how, what do they call them? Lobbyists. I want you to watch how the Jews turn their lobbyists loose on the crowd here to curry public opinion. Go ahead, Jared.
You shout for Barabbas.
Barabbas is depending on you. Barabbas has fought for you.
Don't betray him. Shout for Barabbas.
No, you must save Jesus. He's a righteous man.
When did they arrest him?
Late last night.
In the Garden of Gethsemane.
Gethsemane? That's near where I live.
We must be prepared. Barabbas must be freed at all cost. Now look, we put our men all over. Do you understand? At a given time.
He could understand what he wanted when he's at the temple.
As a sign of his magnanimity and his benevolence, our divine emperor has decided that the custom of releasing one prisoner sentenced to death in honor of your Passover shall continue. We have two prisoners. One, Jesus of Nazareth, accused of treason by proclaiming himself King of the Jews.
Lord, Lord, do you work a miracle now, Jesus?
Lord, let me take the murderer!
Anyone shouting for that false prophet had better watch out.
Look at him, the King of the Jews.
What's happened to him?
Call yourself a king?
Or Barabbas, accused of sedition and murdering a Roman auxiliary.
Give him his finger!
Less than I may call the son of God!
Barabbas! Barabbas!
Free Barabbas! Free Barabbas!
Give us Barabbas! Why don't you free yourself, Jesus?
Which of the two shall be released to you? Jesus of Nazareth!
We cannot let this happen! We must do
guilty
something!
Guilty of proclaiming himself
King of the Jews!
Look, he's wearing the crown!
Or Barabbas!
Barabbas! Release Jesus! He is the true prophet!
You can cut it, Jared. There it is, folks. There it is. That's exactly where we are today. Somebody come on in. By the way, Joe Silver said we got cut from YouTube. Yeah, YouTube can't let this be going out, can they? Can't be let.
Yeah. Todd Henry got cut off.
Yeah. Can't have this going out. What do you think? There we are. An impartial jury. See, when the heat gets turned on, then they want to turn to the people. Then they want to turn to the people. And then who can ever raise up the loudest voice, they are the ones that win. That's not justice. That isn't justice. Cowardly leaders with no standard of truth. Barabbas, what did Barabbas do? He killed somebody. Murdered somebody.
Kind of like having the media in your back pocket so their voice is louder.
Nothing's changed, has it, Larry? Nothing changed. So that's what we're dealing with, folks. That's where we are. I'm going to move on to something else unless somebody has another comment on it. I watched this morning. I think this is absolutely, that's so profound. That is so profound. That we see right now, you guys know this, we see members, church leaders, who would betray me. They would betray a guy like me or a guy like Alan Hoy in a second. They'd betray him in a second. We know that. And so it's not godly government. They're not really our peers. We are now being governed by people who are not our peers. Sorry to say that.
Well, Coach, as you say, the loudest, the loudest voice wins. The church is silent, so the church loses. Like you said earlier, no pastor showed up to defend Alan Hoyle. That's why we lose the battle.
That's right. No, none of them showed up. None of them did. Thank God that we had some people there. Probably more of us should have. But it's going on everywhere. See, if it doesn't affect you, you don't care. You don't care. That young guy, that man down in Texas, his son, I watched a video yesterday on RT of they interviewed the father. And the mother's a Jezebel. And from the time the little boy was 2 years old, she tried to convince him it was a girl. It's twins, by the way. Twins. This little boy down in Texas, it's twins. And the little boy saved James. The little boy, those are twins. And the father said, they're separated, of course, that when James comes to his house, he comes as a boy. He comes dressed as a boy. And when he's at home, he's a girl because he wants the love of his mother and he wants the love of his father. And what happens? They take him into a jury. A jury! A jury of peers. What do they say? Yeah, then go ahead, turn him into a woman. Sure. Heck yeah, go ahead. Turn him into a woman. It's amazing. We don't understand what a jury of our peers is. We don't understand it. Wicked. Wicked and perverse generation is no other way to describe it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Do fathers have any rights at all? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, no. In fact, he is by the courts. I wish I should get that video. Check it out on RT. Just, you can go to RT and the video will come up. He is under court order that he is not to refer to his son as a boy. Court order. When the son comes to his house, he picks him up for visitations. He is not to refer to his son as a boy, although the son comes dressed as a boy. I don't know where it is, Jay. We don't have to go there. I'll try to find it. Maybe get that thing up and ready for us tomorrow. I want to go a different direction. I want to shift gears a little bit. Robert, I'm going to try to work you in here in a second, man. Promise. I'll see what I can do here. Hey, Jared, go to as an email. I think. What does it say? Hey, by the way, thanks again, man. All of you who volunteered yesterday to be on the prayer team. God bless you. I got about 10 or 15 names. More of you, if you'd like to be on our prayer team, email me. Say, I'd like to do it. Okay. I got this email yesterday. I don't know if it's from a guy, a kid at school. I don't know. I don't know who it came from. I don't know. They always like to say this. Every time I get a letter, this guy didn't do it. Every time I get a letter, they say, you talk a lot about homos. You must be one. You must secretly be one. That's always the argument. But anyway, this guy writes this to me. Mr. Dobbin, I recently came across your video stating, if this guy, talk about butt plug, mayor butt plug. If this guy's moral character involves doing what I believe he does have to do in order to have an orgasm, I got a problem with it. That's me saying that. First of all, I'm not a supporter of any politician. This is him saying this now. They all aspire to govern others, and that is not something I support. Having said that, I have questions for you about Mr. Buttplug, okay? So here's the email I get. Your statement leads me to believe that Mr. Buttplug's moral character is sullied by his homosexuality. I respect your religious views that seem to have guided you to this viewpoint. What do your religious views say about the moral character of Donald Trump? In my estimation, Mr. Trump has broken the third, the fourth, the sixth, though not directly, but has authorized lethal force that has killed innocent lives. The seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and the tenth. So set down by God in Deuteronomy. So if you disagree with any of my assessments involving Mr. Trump's adherence to the Ten Commandments, I'm more than welcome a reply. Mr. Trump is obviously not the only politician with moral concerns, but you were a keynote speaker at a Republican Party fundraiser. And Mr. Trump is indeed listed as a Republican who is definitely endeavoring to raise funds for his 2020 campaign. And then he says, do you believe it's more American to mandate prayer in public schools or less American? In my opinion, any mandatory prayer in public schools would essentially function as an act of religious law, which most people are opposed to when the religious law happens to be Islamic. And another note, I'm not a real religious. Hang on, stay there. Don't go any farther, Jared. On another note, I'm not a religious in any way, although I was confirmed Presbyterian. Thank you. Okay, now, before I go farther, I'm going to share my response. I want to see how, if I'm not doing a good job of training people to think and respond, then I'm not doing my job. So let's go back up to the first question, Jared. Pardon me. How would you respond to what he said about Trump having broken all those commandments? Anybody want to give a role play here and tell me how you responded to this? And then I'll show you how I did. Come on in.
Well, I would have said that if Trump has repented and is endeavoring to change his ways, that God takes that into supreme account. And he would also take it into account if a homosexual repented and changed his ways.
Okay, good response, Larry. Anybody else? Come on now, you're gonna be asked these things.
If we push his point of view, no one would be able to do anything.
Absolutely. Good point, Randy. Good point. Remember, the left likes to make us live up to our own standards. Don't ever forget this. This is Saul Alinsky at his finest, okay? Anybody else that would respond? You better all formulate an argument because you're going to hear this over and over.
Yeah, it's all falling short.
Who I was 10 years ago and who I was 20 years ago and who I was 40 years ago I'm today.
Good, valid answer, Jack. Valid.
I think it comes also, Coach, I think it also comes down to, is it a lifestyle too?
Is it a lifestyle? Okay, cool.
You know, habitual, always doing it.
All right. Anybody else? You can tell I want to hear, but I want to move on. Anybody else?
Well, Coach, you're addressing injustice in this situation. You're not addressing shortcomings of the president and other issues. You're directing one particular a sin by one particular person. You know, you can't address all the shortcomings of everybody in politics at the same time. We pick our battles.
That's right. Okay, you want to hear what I said?
Coach, go ahead. Personal failure is not a prerequisite for being in authority.
That's right.
No one is without personal failure.
That's right. All those are valid. Well, here's what I said. Here's what I responded. It took me about a minute to type it and everything. Scroll on down, Jared. Here was my response. Homosexuality is a crime against nature, as is clearly spelled out in Romans 1, unnatural. See, I wish I'd said to him, isn't it amazing that homosexuality is not one of the Ten Commandments? It's not one of the Ten Commandments because it's unnatural. It's an abomination. And then I said to him, how many of the Ten Commandments has Mayor Pete violated? How about you? How about me? Then I said, not all sins are equal. Homosexuality is an abomination. It is a continuous life of sin and unnatural. Would you mind if your president had sex with his dog? That is unnatural as well. Except for murder, I would assume all Americans have violated 9 of the 10 commandments. That is why we need a savior. Mayor Pete needs a savior because he is a sinner, not because he is a homo. We all need a savior. Do you think having a man who inserts his penis in another man's rectum is an honorable thing? I agree with God. It's an unnatural behavior. The worst kind of behavior. Are murderers proud of their behavior? What about liars? What about thieves? Homosexuals are proud of their sin. Okay, Jared, go back up at the top. See, I think I sliced him in four pieces. I didn't try to justify anything. I tried to explain the gospel. Comment? Why is sodomy not one of the Ten Commandments? Because the Lord said, these people are doing stuff I never even would have dreamed they would do. I never even dreamed they could possibly do that. So then let's go down to the next question. Because how would you have answered this one? Number two, Saul Lenski. Do you believe it's more American to mandate prayer in public schools or less American? Yada, yada. Okay, so scroll on down, Jared, all the way down to the bottom. Here's what I said. Right there. Prayer is a voluntary action that is permissible in a public setting. Let me ask you something. How can one person force another to pray? I was sued for leading our team in prayer. No one was forced to pray. Out of respect, non-believers should simply remain silent and permit those who want to pray the opportunity to do so. If you remain silent while others pray, how have you been harmed? Do you prevent others from eating because you don't want to? Doesn't the school schedule lunch for anyone who wants to eat? Do you have to eat during lunch? I'm waiting to hear back from him. Do you understand what they're doing to us, folks? Do you understand? And listen, I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to be effective, we have got to get over, don't take this wrong, please, canned biblical responses. We got to get over them. We have got to think the way they think. And I got in trouble a few months ago because I told somebody, sometimes the Bible is not enough. Sometimes it's not enough. Right? Isn't there in every school a scheduled lunch period? What if you fast? What if you're fasting? Can't you go to the principal and demand nobody eat? You don't want to eat. And as far as I know, eating isn't even listed in the Constitution. Religious freedom is. God, I get so frustrated. Somebody come on in. Robert, hey, you got a long one today. We have time. Yes.
I get your point when you said that the Bible may not be enough because, first off, you're talking to an unbeliever, so he's thinking like the devil.
Right.
So when you give the example of the lunchroom, that's right. So when you give the example of the lunchroom, that's something he can relate to.
Amen.
You're directing his mind and his thought at that point.
Because one of the points I made yesterday, Rich, is when I went into that classroom, as soon as I mentioned Christian and Bible, my opinion didn't count.
Sure.
That's the mentality.
Yep.
So we have to begin to educate ourselves on how to respond to some of these things rather than just platitudes that we've heard other Christians use. Think, what are they thinking? Be ahead of them and know where their argument's going. Head them off at the pass. See, he was waiting for me to respond to him with biblical, this scripture and this scripture and this scripture and this scripture, and I didn't respond. I responded to, hopefully, his intellect and his ability to logically reason.
Dave.
Yes, Roger.
They don't believe in the Bible, so to purely respond biblically leaves out an important carnal aspect of their life. You know, you can go to a city council meeting and decry homosexuality, but you might be better saying, why are we passing laws that men are dying at 45? on the average.
Yeah, Roger, there you go.
It's not a biblical philosophy. It's the fact. The homosexual lifestyle, you die at 45 on the average. You know,
that's so right. And we want to save their lives. See, if we make every argument biblical and moral, Bible, folks, it's very, very clear. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you are talking to people who are not born again of the Spirit, and you are simply using the scriptures, folks, a jackhammer. You better have a jackhammer, because they got a mindset that you're not going to be able to plow your way through. Jesus said the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. The Bible says the things I say unto you are spirit and they're life. And the Bible says they can't understand the Bible because they don't have the Spirit. So we have to learn to logically fight against them. Are you see what's going on? You see it?
You know, Coach, when you're playing a sports game, the referees and the umpires, they all agree that there's a set of rules that have to be followed. And just because a player doesn't think that the way they interpret the blocking below the waist rule is right, does that mean he gets to block people below the waist and not get called for it?
It looks that way sometimes in the NFL, to be honest with you, Larry, but let me give you a better example. You know what Christians would do out on the football field, Larry? They would pray the ball carrier trips. They would pray to, I fall down in Jesus' name. Why don't they play football like that?
Oh, you hit it. You got it.
Right? No. You don't fight in a carnal world with simply spiritual weapons. In a carnal world, you'll say, Jesus, help me conquer him in Jesus' name. Hey, don't make him fall down.
We fight a spiritual thing in a carnal world using carnal things as led by the Spirit.
Yes, and extenuating or applying spiritual principles in doing so. When I'm in a football game and I tell a young man to go knock the other guy's helmet off, the other guy, the player on the other team, isn't the enemy. He's not somebody we personally dislike. Our job is to go knock his helmet off and then help him up. But I just can't pray that his helmet comes off. That's stupid. That's where we are. Golly, I'm running out of time here. Somebody help me wrap it up. Robert, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Get your own book from Robert, Keeper of the Faith. Sorry, Robert. We'll double. We'll let you get in there tomorrow with it. Anybody? Anybody for the good of the group? I probably made more enemies today. And by the way, Facebook, how about that? YouTube cut us off. So in other words, whoever made Jesus of Nazareth doesn't want that shared. That's a copyright violation. By the way, Jesus of Nazareth copyrighted without approval, I'm sure, Jesus's words. Did they go to God and get permission to use his words on YouTube? The guy made the moon. See where I'm going? We have a legal system. We don't have a justice system. We'll see you tomorrow. Kalispell, Montana, on our way. Hope to see some of you out there. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.